This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Battle Creek Democrat Mark Schauer served one term in Congress, winning a seat in 2008. He then lost a rematch to Republican Tim Walberg in 2010. Before that, he served a total of 12 years in the Michigan legislature, six each in the State House and Senate. And he's looking to return to Lansing next year. He is the only major party candidate to formally announce a campaign for governor. And Mark Schauer joins us. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Gordon.
We're also joined today by Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer and Alex Mitchell of MLive and the Kalamazoo Gazette. Jennifer, first question for Mark Schauer.
Hi, Mark.
Hello.
I guess my first question would be an easy one. You're likely going to be running against an incumbent, and both of them, you and Snyder, both have Battle Creek ties. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it is interesting because we have some mutual friends in Battle Creek, and maybe they'll be torn a little bit. You know, I chose to live in Battle Creek after I went to Albion College. I actually grew up in Howell in mid-Michigan. My dad was a teacher. My mom was a nurse. I went to Albion College. I was a good student and chose that school, and it was a great choice. It brought me to this part of the state. My first job out of college was with Calhoun County as an urban planner in Marshall, and then about 3 years later moved to Battle Creek. So I've most of my adult life has been there. You know, my wife Christine owns a small business there, is now county treasurer. We're very rooted in the Battle Creek community, and it is interesting that the two candidates hail from that same community. Of course, Governor Snyder's been in Ann Arbor a long time, and but I think this race is going to be about visions for Michigan, and that's what people really care about. I mean, my whole career has been in public service. I ran the community action agency, ran programs like Head Start for four-year-olds, Meals on Wheels for seniors, and everything in between. You know, I have a passion for people. I've done economic development through sort of my time as a Battle Creek City Commissioner and my time in the legislature. Jobs has been a real passion. Being the son of a teacher and product of education, education for me is the silver bullet, the single most important investment we can make in our state's future and building an economy that works for everyone. You know, that's my vision, rebuilding our middle class, not competing for low-wage, low-skilled jobs, but competing for high-wage, high-skilled jobs. I'm running for governor because Rick Snyder, no matter where he's from, has taken our state in the wrong direction. I mean, to cut $1 billion out of public education, cut higher education as well, impose a new tax on retirees, raise taxes on parents raising kids, raise taxes on low-wage earners, all to give a $1.8 billion tax cut to corporations that's not creating jobs, is the wrong direction. And don't take my word for it. Economists are telling us that the economy in Michigan is growing more slowly under Rick Snyder than the nation's economy. It's not working, and certainly it's not working for everyone.
Alex?
I'll start off with an easy one, too. When were you first approached about possibly running, and what considerations went into making that decision to move forward?
Probably the honest answer is, when was I first approached about running for governor? Gosh, a long time ago, probably right after I was first elected to the State House. I mean, that's sort of the way it is. You know, you have an intense group of supporters that have always encouraged me. But, you know, I lost in 2010. After working incredibly hard, you know, through my 12 years in the legislature, but 2 years in Congress, lost in 2010 because it was the lowest Democratic turnout since 1948. I mean, Democrats like me lost all over the country. And, you know, so I had some time to make up for lost time with my wife, family, did some work in the private sector, actually in the construction industry, helping to match talent with employers that are trying to create good jobs. It was a great opportunity, but my passion for Michigan never abated. And I think, you know, there has been, I think people started talking to me, gosh, probably well over a year ago, because you know, Rick Snyder, you know, has not turned out to be the kind of governor that people thought. Having represented part of Washtenaw County in Congress, there were a number of my supporters that actually Democrats supported Rick Snyder in 2010. And I think they thought they were getting sort of a Governor Milliken, sort of a moderate, a centrist, someone that would bring people together, someone that would sort of try to cut through the polarization and partisanship. And I think they candidly, they feel they've gotten someone more like a Governor DeVos, what he would have been like if he would have won several years ago. So there's a general sense of disappointment about Governor Snyder that and you know that he, again, early in his first year in office, cut funding to education, raised taxes on people on fixed incomes, all to pay for a big corporate tax cut. And they've attacked women and women's access to health and reproductive choice, attacked the gay and lesbian and transgender community by prohibiting domestic partner benefits for state employees. I mean, this was the right to work was a you know, folks agree with Rick Snyder that he said it was a divisive issue and wasn't on his agenda. It was an attack on workers, all sort of catering to the right, and things that don't add up to more jobs for Michigan, don't create a stronger economy for Michigan, don't create a state that's fairer. So it was sort of a drumbeat of approach to me. And finally, as someone who loves our state very much, and I feel like I have the skill, having served in the legislature for 12 years, actually local government, the nonprofit sector, and then in Congress, I have the ability to work effectively in running state government and working with the legislature to solve the problems that face our state and take Michigan in a new direction. So it finally culminated the end of May when I decided that this was the right thing to do. And we jumped in and are running an aggressive campaign already. And I'm excited about the next year plus ahead.
You say he's catering to the right, but there's some Tea Party supporters out there who say that they're not going to support his reelection bid. Can't some people look at some things he's done, such as support Medicaid expansion, support $1.2 billion for infrastructure improvements, supporting Common Core education standards, right, and say there is an independent streak to Rick Snyder that has left him making some enemies, or at least not as many friends on the right as
well,
he would
hope. Certainly has a challenge with his Republican Party. Let's be clear. Rick Snyder is the head of the Republican Party in Michigan. He is their standard bearer. But I don't know that there's ever satisfying the Tea Party or the social conservatives, if you will, in that party. And but I also want to say I don't disagree with Rick Snyder on everything. I mean,
Medicaid expansion,
exactly. So I want to say two things about that. One, I'm very pleased that Governor Snyder joins me in supporting Obamacare. That was a vote that some would suggest maybe cost me the election in 2010. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think it's one of the most important things I've ever done in my career, and it's in making sure people have access to health care.
He supports expanding Medicaid under Obamacare.
He supported,
and he did
state,
not sign the
He's trying to parse his own words politically, but he supported a state-run exchange, a health care exchange, Medicaid expansion. Medicaid expansion is very important. It will provide coverage, comprehensive health care coverage to 470,000 people in our state. It'll bring $2 billion of our own tax dollars back to Michigan. You know, it will help control health care costs for all of us, control health care premiums. So he's right on that. But as has been the case with his attempts to get this Republican legislature, his legislature, to approve additional funding to fix our roads and our bridges and infrastructure, to get this common education core curriculum adopted, a number of other key initiatives, he's having a tough time, or he's outright failed with the legislature.
How are you going to do better, though? Because, I mean, he at least is a Republican, even if there's Republicans who don't like where he stands on certain issues. You're a Democrat, and unless there's a change in partisan control, and that seems not very likely in the Senate, maybe in the House, how are you going to do better?
I think 2014 will be a change election, and I think that's very important for us to understand. When you look at not only me leading Rick Snyder in every poll that's been conducted, even before I got in the race, the fact that all of the national pundits from Rothenberg, Cook, Larry Sabato at University of Virginia all put the Michigan governor's race in the toss-up column. Generic Democrats running for the state house lead a generic Republican by 10 points, 48-38. I mean, people are not happy with the direction that Republicans and Rick Snyder have taken our state. Now, I've mentioned on at least one occasion my time in the legislature. Look, I served under John Engler as governor, Jennifer Granholm, and I've watched very closely Rick Snyder as governor. And I'll tell you, we need a little more of a John Engler approach, candidly, in terms of working with the legislature. He was a creature of the legislature. He knew how legislators work. I know how legislators work, how the legislative bodies work. Look, I credit Rick Snyder for returning early from an international trip, but just sort of parachuting in and expecting members to, you know, bow down and do what you've asked them to do. I mean, he's sort of taking the corporate CEO, and I'm talking about on Medicaid expansion with the Senate. The House, give the House credit in a bipartisan way. There's an example of bipartisanship.
Should he not have gone to Israel in the first place? I mean, would you go that far?
I don't want to say that. I think what he fails to understand on all of these issues is, you know, you get votes one vote at a time. And it is a relationship, and whether it's with Democrats or Republicans. I mean, I commend Democrats. I mean, they were under a lame duck session. They were steamrolled on a number of key issues, including right to work. And on Medicaid expansion, all 12 Democrats in the Senate have committed to voting for Medicaid reform or Medicaid expansion. They need 8 Republicans out of 26 where there's a supermajority. And Governor Snyder came back from his trip early, and these are media accounts that I've heard a number of, so I think they're accurate. He actually lost votes, and I don't know how you do that. So it is a game. It is a process of relationships, of working with members. I want to be clear. I'm going to be Michigan's governor, where I will represent all 83 counties, whether they're represented by Democrats and Republicans. I'm going to know the top 10 or 20 priorities of every member of the legislature and actually talk with them about them. And, you know, if it's a priority in a Republican district, there's a good chance it's a priority for me. So it is a question of gaining votes one at a time. And, you know, let me further say, you know, Governor Snyder's not going to get Medicaid expansion passed by holding press conferences. You know, if I were governor, I would have immediately called the legislature into special session for the purpose of expanding Medicaid. He has the constitutional authority to do it. And he further should have said, I will veto any new legislation you put on my desk until you put Medicaid expansion on my desk. Jan Brewer, the Tea Party governor of Arizona, did that with her legislature, and they finally passed it. So I hope, you know, my hope is that Governor Snyder signs Medicaid expansion before I become governor, but he's not showing effective leadership right now.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Mark Schauer, the Democratic candidate for governor from Battle Creek, the only major party candidate to announce so far. Also joined today by Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer and Alex Mitchell of MLive and the Kalamazoo Gazette. Jennifer.
It was recently announced that, you know, Albion High School students are headed to Marshall Public Schools. Is that an ideal model for you, or would you like to see more efforts in preventing schools from closing around the state?
Well, I attended a forum about a month ago at Albion High School. It was very, very difficult. Leaders of the State Board of Education were there. Representative Kate Siegel was there. A number of school board members and other just interested citizens. Very difficult situation. And, you know, my position is that the situation in Albion and candidly, let's be clear, 1 in 10 school districts in Michigan are in deficit, 55 school districts. That's the most in history under Governor Snyder. And it is a result of a set of policy. This is not a coincidence, is my point. When there is unlimited, unregulated schools, charter schools, for-profit charter schools, schools of choice that continue to have school districts, you know, competing for dollars, which come in the form of students, with this new cyber school legislation, which there is no cap on the number of students that can enroll in these online schools, I should have started with this, and cuts to our public school districts. You know, the Albion Board of Education and the Albion community was in an untenable situation. And so I think we have to start by, you know, there's a lot of conversation about, you know, school consolidation and the number of school districts. But what's happened under Governor Snyder and this legislature is they've really sort of blown the top off of the number of schools and essentially the number of school districts that can compete for students. And when school districts have seen their per pupil funding cut, they're competing like crazy for our students. And, you know, Albion is a community that's very near and dear to me. As I attended college there, represented Albion in the legislature and in Congress. It's a community that's been hit by, you know, job losses. It's an old foundry community that saw its manufacturing base completely eliminated. Very difficult situation. So my concern is first and foremost about those students. And, you know, Randy Davis is an outstanding superintendent in Marshall, and I'm very hopeful that things will work. There are many folks that are working together to make this work. But this is devastating to the Albion community. Albion will be a K-8 district. I don't know that the Albion School District can survive that. I don't know that the Albion community can survive that. How would you like to be recruiting business to your community when, you know, years ago they lost their hospital due to Medicaid cuts? Now they, you know, have lost their high school. It's a very difficult circumstance for that community. So I think what we need to do is decide whether our constitutional guarantee of a free, quality public education for every child in Michigan is something we believe in or not. It is like first and foremost my number one economic development strategy. And, you know, it should not be the luck of the draw if you're fortunate enough to, you know, to live in a particular student or be a parent that can drive your child to another school. Every neighborhood school has to be an excellent school. And I am seeing our constitutional promise of a free quality public education for every child just tattered, and it's a promise broken right now that has to be remade.
Alex?
Mark, the contamination of the Allied Paper site in Kalamazoo's Edison neighborhood has long been a local issue here. Trying to find the funds for a complete cleanup, EPA has recommended just capping it. What involvement would you have in that effort, or could the governor have in the cleanup?
Well, for many years in Michigan, there's been a partnership between the state and the federal government on environmental issues, particularly on the permitting side and on the regulatory side, and that would be between the Department of Environmental Quality and the EPA. And that partnership has to be continued. You know, I'm very concerned about some recent legislation that was passed that would actually has to do with regulating water in Michigan that would actually cause us to lose our state ability to provide that regulatory function. We would lose that to the EPA. So I think it is important to me and will be important to me as governor to make sure we have a role in that regulatory process, you know, and as a sort of a creature of local government as well, I think it's very important that we have all governmental units working closely together to figure out solutions that work for local communities. You know, we all know, you know, Kalamazoo has had a number of sites. Unfortunately, a number of these brownfield sites are coming back and creating economic activity and jobs. But when we have environmental contamination, it affects those neighbors, but it affects the community, and it's very costly. So I think the state has to make sure it has a role to play in that process. And I would also say, you know, the same thing about, you know, a cleanup that's, you know, maybe you have a question on your list about the Enbridge Kalamazoo River spill. It's the third anniversary of that spill is July 25th. I'll never forget it. I was very involved in that process. And, you know, we need to keep our eye on the ball and hold Enbridge accountable until every molecule of oil from the Kalamazoo River is cleaned.
I want to come back around to education, actually. Recently, Phil Power in Bridge Magazine wrote about many of the problems facing Michigan in education. Among the things he mentioned, Michigan's patchwork of small school districts, which he says is costly, inefficient, and slow to change. The state superintendent, Mike Flanagan, has proposed that intermediate school districts could consolidate things like transportation, maintenance, maybe some administrative things, and has even gone so far as to suggest maybe we need countywide school districts. What are your thoughts? Obviously, the situation in Albion and Marshall kind of plays into this as well, but do we have too many school districts?
Yeah. I'm looking at that engaging many in the education community to talk about that. What has catalyzed that discussion and the question is the state funding cuts to our public schools and, for example, rising, pension costs and healthcare costs. My goal is to get as much money into the classroom to support the best trained teachers. The two most important factors in educating children, number one are their parents and whether they've gotten off to a good start. And I've learned that from my days in running Head Start. But the second is having a quality teacher in the classroom. So for me, I want to look at everything. I want to point to one thing. Maybe some of you wrote about it. I know I've read about it in the press. The Finns, educators in Finland have been lifted up as this global model, and we've had this dialogue with them about ways to make education better here. And their sort of approach is to have sort of work school by school and have the best trained teachers and administrators, a team working together. And their response for Michigan a month ago or so was, we wouldn't be able to do anything in Michigan, and that's because of the high poverty rate. Michigan, under Governor Snyder, has the most children in poverty, the highest percentage of children in poverty in any state in the Great Lakes region. So, I think we have to take a comprehensive approach at the problem. And I have always, collaboration has always been sort of the hallmark of my work and my career. Yes, we need to have school districts working together. We need to find economies. We need to but our goal always has to be getting support, getting the best trained teachers in the classroom.
Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer. Next question for Mark Schauer.
I'd like to talk about medical marijuana for a little bit. With the recent ruling saying essentially that dispensaries are illegal, those for that ruling say, hey, the medical marijuana industry is not meant to be a profitable one. It's not meant to make a business and make a profit off of. Those who are against the ruling say this limits access to people who are ill and need their medication. And with states all over the place as far as how they're handling their medical marijuana policy, what do you kind of see for Michigan's stance on that?
Yeah, it really feels like a mess. To be clear, I voted against the medical marijuana proposal several years ago when it was put before the voters. And I did because of some of these fears about access to marijuana, particularly by young people. I've seen the negative effect in some cases, the devastation on young people, and whether you consider it a gateway drug, however you describe it. I've talked to therapists and clinicians that talk about the addictability of marijuana. It's a concern of mine, and I know in Springfield near me, there were recent busts at a number of these compassion clubs, I guess they're called. Look, at the same time, I understand that marijuana in some form can be helpful to people that have, terrible illnesses. So I'm certainly not satisfied with the way the current law is working. And if it stays on the books, I want to work to make sure that it is properly restricted and regulated, and not just a way for folks to get recreational drugs, and certainly not a way for young people to get access to an illegal drug.
Alex Mitchell of M Live and the Kalamazoo Gazette.
To kind of follow up with Jennifer's question, what are your feelings on the decriminalization efforts from some local counties and townships? Do you feel that that's the state's responsibility to enforce the federal law, or that's up to those townships?
Well, I support local control. I want to say that first and foremost. I think we've got to address and have real conversations about some of the issues I just talked about. You know, it's a thorny issue if it's an illegal substance that people aren't supposed to have, and then it's decriminalized. Now, you know, you get a ticket, I guess, like a parking ticket, right? It's, you know, my starting point on those issues is, what is it going to do to access to drugs, particularly for young people? That's my greatest concern.
Well, Jace Bulger, the House Speaker, certainly no one's idea of a liberal, recently said that he was willing to look at decriminalization because, as he says, you know, we don't stop everybody who goes 3 miles over the speed limit. Mm-hmm. And you know, it doesn't necessarily mean you're making it legal, but you're making it less of a priority.
No, I understand. And I think that's, again, that is an important distinction. But again, my touchstone is, you know, what does this do to access, particularly to young people, and what messages are we sending? So I think it's, you know, I would like to have a dialogue with local officials on that issue, just like I, you know, candidly, I'd like to have a dialogue with local officials on here's the thing that I think is more important to talk about with local officials, and how can we make sure we have the healthiest, highest quality, most livable, vibrant communities that will attract jobs and attract young people. You know, I think that when I look at my priorities, it's, you know, how to create a strong middle class. We need the best schools in the world for every child. We need the healthiest, most vibrant, walkable, livable communities that attract investment, attract our young people. You know, we have we're an incubator for innovation and economic growth. And, you know, what I see from a Governor Snyder is an economy that works for you if you happen to be wealthy or well-connected or a corporate special interest. It's not working for everyone else. That's – I want to work in full partnership with our local governments to build that kind of state.
Okay. We just have a couple minutes left, so rather than get into an issue of great substance, I'll deal with a political one. We've had a couple of
– You're saying that's not of great substance, Gordon?
On the record, yes. There's been a couple of stories recently about maybe some what we'll call restlessness amongst Democrats about your candidacy. Tim Skubick wrote about Bart Stupak being in the Upper Peninsula and being encouraged to get into the race for governor. Before he decided to wage a write-in campaign, there was some talk that maybe Mike Duggan, write-in campaign for mayor of Detroit, that he might decide to run for governor since he won't be on the ballot in Detroit. You know, I know that you did not want a competitive primary and have to spend a lot of money and get into, you know, a big dogfight at the same time. As someone who's not known statewide, would a primary might give you a better chance to get some people to see you face to face and get to know
I'll
you?
I'll give you a little historical anecdote. Since 1970, when the voters of Michigan started nominating candidates for governor, only once has there not been a primary, and that was 1990 when John Engler beat incumbent Governor Jim Blanchard. So having a –
Well, Dick DeVos didn't have a primary, and he lost.
Well, okay. I'll double-check that.
Okay.
But you're correct. But my point is, it is an advantage to have a clear shot, have a clear field, and Democrats are very unified this election. You know, Tim Skubick is the senior Capitol correspondent, but he's not always right either. And those stories didn't have any legs, so they didn't go anywhere. Bart Stupak is a supporter of mine, has issued a very positive statement. You know, Mike Duggan's running for mayor. Democrats are supporting me, and we're poised to win. You know, Michigan's a blue state. We're going to start acting like it. 2014 is going to be a very good year, and I expect to be our next governor.
Okay, but we're sitting here right now talking in July of 2013. The filing deadline's not till May. Are you confident that no other serious Democrats?
You know, I don't want to, you know, make a prediction, but I feel very confident in the support that I have from Democrats in Michigan that are motivated and poised to make sure that Rick Snyder's a one-term governor.
Do you think that you can get your name out there in such a way that Democrats do rally, even if they don't know who you are right now?
It's been going very well. I mean, in just, you know, a month and a half, you know, I was in the UP 4th of July week, covered a big portion of my wife's home turf, and we've been traveling the state and speaking to groups. It's the response has been fantastic. So I started early because it's a big state. I have a new 83-county district, so I look forward to covering every corner of it.
Mark Schauer, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mark Schauer is the Democratic candidate for governor. He represented Battle Creek in the state House, state Senate, and Congress. Also, thank you to Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer and Alex Mitchell of MLive and the Kalamazoo Gazette. I'm Gordon Evans. This is West Southwest.